Today, the main story behind the main story. In Genesis 22, Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac.
The wrath of God is very real. And this story tells us that. You don't want to go to a place where the fire is never quenched. May we today then look unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith.
His faith was tested like few will ever understand. Abraham goes through a severe test, but in the midst of this test, we have an amazing gospel presentation and a declaration by God telling us just exactly what he will do and why. Hi, welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to the book of Genesis today. We're in chapter 22, verses 1 through 24. The Lord will provide. It's a real encouraging look at God's amazing grace. Here's Pastor Chris now with more.
Abraham, this son that you've been waiting for 25 years, slay him. You feel this? What kind of request is that? I mean, this is radical. You know, Abraham doesn't know it's a test. I got to remind myself that. How could God say this? You know, if I haven't built this up enough right now to raise some kind of anger, some kind of irritation, I haven't done my job. What is the Lord doing to this man? And then you see, you know, throughout the history of interpretation, what unbelievers have done with this when they read it. Oh, unbelievers love texts like this. Boy, they look at texts like this and say, this is the kind of God you guys claim. Bloodthirsty. Was it Kierkegaard who said, God is completely illogical. God is completely absurd here. How absurd to ask Abraham to negate the reality that had reversed his years of disappointed hope. Cruel. I think the Lord wanted everyone to feel this. He did this on purpose. Have you figured out the test yet? How is Abraham to believe the promise that the seed is this promised son is going to come through Isaac, and your seed, in Isaac your seed shall be called, all the nations are going to be blessed through him? How in the world, I mean, this is the gospel, how is that possible if I kill him? I want you to kill the gospel, Abraham. I want you to put out that light. Put an end to everything that I promised you. And you see the struggle that's going on. Abraham's torn between two things. He's torn with the divine promise, and now he's torn with a command that is directly at odds with the promise, which would nullify the promise if he does it. If the Lord is to fulfill what he said, humanly speaking, now you've got a real contradiction. You've got the problem of death. These promises can't be fulfilled if Isaac is dead, and yet the Lord is commanding death. Therefore, that would mean if Isaac goes into the grave, God's a liar. That's one option. God himself and his commitments now. We often look at Abraham's test here, but you know, God just really put himself to the test. Everyone should be on the kind of edge of their seat. Abraham has two choices, you know. You could, if this happens, say, who is this God? I'm done. I'm walking away from him. I don't see any goodness in him. Look at my life unraveling. And many do that. They face tests, and what is the first thing that comes out of their mouth? Where is God in this? Where is God's goodness in this? There's no God. The narrative builds. Abraham begins to think about this. I'm sure he didn't rest that night. The question that he's wrestling with is, how can God be true to his promise if I sacrifice Isaac? No comments. You don't get it here in the narrative. All you get is this immediate submission and obedience. It's really beautiful. In light of everything that we've studied about Abraham, look at the obedience. Look at the sanctification that's happened in this man. Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Wow. He's up splitting wood early. Imagine splitting the wood for the sacrifice of your son. I want everyone to notice what he says. As soon as he gets to Mount Moriah, he looks at his servants and you hear what he said. You stay here. I and the boy are going over here to worship, but we're coming back. Now, that's not wishful thinking. That's not wishful thinking at all. We'll be back. We together. This grand test of refining has just done something. This test has drawn him away from attacking the Lord and doing things his way. And it now has moved him to trust the promise. Even when the circumstance is completely contrary, it seems, to the promise. Abraham says, no, right? We will be back. Because God said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And Abraham here, he had fought against this for 25 years, doing it his own way. And isn't this beautiful? You finally come. I mean, this is why we call him the father of the faith. You really do see now Abraham in a place of complete resting, complete trust. The lie of Genesis was, did God say, said Satan to Eve. Abraham has said, God said it, I believe it, nothing can annul it. That's where he is. I so trust what he said, and now he is resting on that gospel promise that he believes nothing can take that from him, and he goes forward. That is faith. A complete denial of himself. And you see, this is where the Lord wants us when whatever is in front of us, when whatever it is speaks contrary to his word of gospel to you and his word of peace to you. This is where he wants you. Right here. Stay here. You say, how did this man get through it? Abraham thinks to himself, the promise is through Isaac. Then if I am to kill Isaac, then God's going to have to do something. That's what I conclude. God's going to have to do something to make that happen. He can't renege on his word. He can't kill his covenant. He swore an oath. God can't lie. It's an impossibility for God to lie. Therefore, Hebrews tells us what he thought in his mind. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Here it is, concluding. Here was his master conclusion of the whole thing. If I do that, God will raise him up and we'll come back. He'll raise him from the dead and we'll come back. I believe his word. And right then and there, the test was sustained. He believed the promise. He's resting in it. You see how you're casting yourself on the promises of God. This is faith. When the reality of your greatest fear comes in the tests of the Lord is showing you where he wants you, believing that no matter where you go, what you face, when everything speaks directly contrary to his word, you say, I stand on the word. And how many people have cast aside the word of God? Mountains are now ready to be moved, you realize. Jesus said that faith is of a mustard seed moves mountains. Mountains are ready. He takes the wood and he travels up one. And he carries the wood and the fire in his hand and the knife, and they go together. They arrive at Moriah, and Abraham builds an altar, and he places the wood on it, and he binds his son on the altar. And then you come to verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife to slaughter his son. Slaughter's right. He would have first cut open Isaac's throat. He would have dismembered him. His body parts would then have been spread open on the altar and consumed by fire. Can you imagine the horror of this? There's only one other time he felt this horror. That was back in Genesis chapter 15. Can you imagine the horror of what now this man has to undergo? But he raises the knife. And at the last moment, when he's ready to do it, the angel of the Lord speaks. Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Now here's where commentators stop. And even Calvin stops. And we're commended to just go through the tests in life trusting God's word. That is a huge point of this passage, but you really haven't got to the heart of it yet. Do you see what God just did for Abraham? Every emotion, every feeling, every emotion of rage that all of us would ever feel if we were asked to do this, he just declared to us that he will never put us and our children through that. But he requires it. And then he takes the reality that if we're troubled by this scene, think about it. If we're troubled by this scene, then you start asking questions. Well, have I really then understood the offense of my own sin and the real offense of what he had to do to remove us off the altar of his own wrath? Let me take you to a different scene. One day, Jesus is responding to the unbelief of the Jews. And he says something that must have been absolutely remarkable to the Jews. He says, you know, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. You ever thought about what day that was in the whole course of Abraham's life? What day he saw the Lamb of God? Go back over the story one more time and then we'll come to the supper. Take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. That day Moriah was desolate, but you know that 2 Chronicles tells us Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. This would be the place where the temple would later be built, right here. It's desolate that day, where Golgotha would be, and the Lord of glory would be crucified. What a scene. Abraham takes a donkey and his son is riding on this donkey. And verse 6, the wood for the burnt offering is laid upon the back of his son. And Abraham, the father, is carrying fire and a knife. And the critical moment of the whole narrative, which is a structure in the Hebrew, that is the crucial moment of the narrative, is the question that comes out in verse 7. Isaac speaks and Isaac says, look, father, the fire and the wood, where's the lamb? God will provide. Isaac is a young man, not a boy. Next chapter, he's 40. There's no opposition from Isaac. You would think that a 30-year-old would give some opposition to this. You'd think. Palm Sunday, your Lord, 32 years old, enters on a donkey. And in a few more days, a massive piece of wood is laid on his back. And the father would walk with him up to Mount Moriah. And on his back would be every single sin that you ever committed in thought, word, and deed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, he opened not his mouth. Verse 9 of our narrative, they came to the place where God had spoken, something very specific, and Abraham places the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac. Isaac is laid on the altar. Christ is taken there, very spot, to the place of the skull, and he is bound. And Abraham raises the knife, and the angel of the Lord, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, meets Abraham that day and says, I don't want you to do that to your son, Abraham. I don't want you to have to face that. I'll provide a lamb. In an act of substitution, the lamb goes on the altar and it's consumed, and Now it all has come together, you see, because the message that we are so offended by, that God would ever ask Abraham to do such a thing, this illogical and erratic God, as people have charged him with, this irrational charge that we make against the Lord, this absurd test, he did to tell you he never intended for you to face it. He wants you to understand that every feeling and emotion of repulsion and anger at the notion of sacrificing your own son and feeling the shock and the horror of that, he wants you to know you deserved it. You deserved, you and your sons and your daughters, to be laid up on that altar and face the wrath of God forever. But instead, God wanted you to know through this, as Abraham learned, I'm not doing that to you, but I have to do that. Because I'm just. And so you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to put my own son there. I'm going to put the Lamb of God right on that altar. And the Father wants you to understand. The Father wants you to understand because of love. He pushed his son backwards. And he pinned him to that wood. He drove through the knife. He drove through the fire, piercing his soul. And the Father, as he drives it into his own son for you, the son cries out and says, I'm thirsting. I'm facing the wrath of God. And then he cries out and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there was no one there to cry out and say, no, don't do that. We stood there and we said instead, crucify him. Give it to him. And because of his great love, that you might be forgiven, the Father did that to his son. The fury of his justice was released in full, and I don't know how to explain that, upon the body and the soul of his own son. This is my son, says the Father. And I love him. I'm so well pleased with him. But you know what? None of you would ever make it if I didn't do this to him. And the Son didn't willingly lay down his life because of his love for you. But the most beautiful thing here is that the very thing that Abraham concluded is the whole story, isn't it? That God did raise up his son. And the son went back to the Father. And today they're together. And the Holy Spirit is taking this and opening your hearts wide to receive it. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. And he saw to it in AD 30 in the month of Nisan at about the sixth hour of the day when Jesus said, it is finished. Now, as we come to the supper, you see why we proclaim gospel. He's showing you as a believer that your life is constantly being tested and tried, that you would be brought to a place of complete reliance and complete resting on his gospel promise for you and to you, that you would trust his word of gospel. And sometimes we are fighting that. It's like Luther once said. Luther said, it's not fit that the head should wear a crown of thorns and the members sit on cushions. You're going to be tested. It's life. You're going to be hit. But the glory of the gospel is you're not looking back saying the Lord will provide. You're looking back and saying the Lord has provided. On the mountain of the Lord, it was provided. And that means I'm forgiven. And if I have that good confidence, and if I have that faith in Christ as a gift, you know what that means? It means that whatever comes down my path in life, he has promised it's for good. And he's promised he means it for good. As we all come to the supper this morning, I want to challenge those who don't believe. If there are any here who reject this, you know, you know what you just said to God? You said to God, I don't need your substitution. No thanks. And then you said, I will voluntarily take it because he requires it. And if you want to run that way, if you want to run and despise this and do your own thing, What a game with your own soul. Why would you play that? You see, the wrath of God is very real. And this story tells us that. You don't want to go to a place where the fire is never quenched. May we today then look unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Come to him. And be overwhelmed and know what the saints have always known, the joy that we have, the peace that we have to be called sons of the living God, because he himself did not. He gave. He didn't spare. He gave his son, his only son, whom he loves for us. Let's praise him today. Oh Lord, open our minds and mouths now to receive by faith the Holy Supper, which is able to strengthen us as your Spirit applies these things to our hearts. Strengthen us to believe your promises, and in whatever ways we are tested and tried, that we would rest on all that you've said to us in your wonderful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. With that, we come to a close with our look at the testing of Abraham, message called The Lord Will Provide. Now, next week, we'll pick up here in Genesis, where we left off. Tomorrow, however, we'll be in studio with Pastor Chris. We'll return Pastor Chris here in just a moment to give you a sneak peek at what our in-studio time together looked like. Thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. By the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, we'd love to hear it and possibly address it. If you'll take that voice memo app on your smartphone and record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, we'll get it on the air. The email address is questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. If we use your question, we'll email you back and let you know when it airs. Well, as promised, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to tomorrow's broadcast in studio.
None of us want to face suffering. None of us want to face hardships to come. And what a convenient idea that I'll just have to dodge it all and not have to face any suffering or persecution. Listen, the church has always been a persecuted, martyred church. The church has always gone through this. John starts his book in Revelation by saying, "I, John, both your companion in the tribulation." John viewed us as in it. We're in the fight. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. So this idea that we're just going to be spared it all is incredibly selfish. We've always been taught that we go through this, as Paul said, "I bear all things for the sake of the elect." We go through all of this so that people would be saved. And so it's a convenient doctrine, but it's not a biblical doctrine.
think of the glorious truth that in this hardship, we have a mission and a mandate given. And though we're a persecuted people, though we're a tried people, this is one of the most martyred ages ever of Christians dying for their faith across the world. That's what we're in right now. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come soon on the clouds of heaven and make it right.
A study of eschatology. Join us tomorrow for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.